T. Lydon on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's a Saturday afternoon. D. Lydon with you here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Got a little pep in my step. Got to sleep in. Get to be with you on this beautiful Saturday, June 25th. A lot going on in the sports world. I did not really see all of the Phillies game last night. So what do I love about the West Coast games? You get up and they show it right away on the next morning. Unfortunately, the result didn't change when they do the replay. It was still a 1-0 loss. Phillies get beat by the Padres. Aaron Nola pitched a gem. And man, oh man, at one point, I think they were going into the top of the eighth. And Ben Davis says, give that man some runs. Couldn't happen. The only run that was put on the board came compliments of Aaron's brother, Austin. Austin, in his career, had gone 0-for-4 against Aaron. And Aaron had gotten him out in the second and then in the fourth. And then Austin comes up in the sixth with a guy on second, Hosmer. And, yeah, swinging a hit for Austin Nola. Parents were in the stands. That's always a tough one. I remember my grandmother would be in the stands when my dad would be coaching St. Joe's, and he was the oldest of 11, and her youngest son, not her youngest child, she had a daughter that was younger, but youngest son was playing for LaSalle, and it would like tear her apart because you want success for both of them. And in this case, and Austin was so gracious afterwards, like talking about the way Aaron had pitched, and you know, good God, what did he end up? He ended up, he pitched 7 innings, gave up the 1 run, 7 hits. He struck out 10, walked only 2, and he is now 4-5 on the season. I think Mike, who's with me today, I think he said it's the third time where they've been shut out when he's on the hill.
Yeah, third time this year they've been shut out. They are 6-9 now in his starts.
It's unbelievable. So anyhow, you move forward. They'll play again tonight, 10-10 start. Zach Eflin will be on the hill for the Phillies. Blake Snell, the lefty, for the Padres. Eflin is 2-5 on the year with a 4.43 ERA. Bryce Harper did not have a hit yesterday. So we can just talk about the Phillies. I mean, they're 37-35. I know they didn't put any runs on the board. There was some outstanding defensive plays in that game. I mean, it was entertaining to watch. And the other thing with the Phillies, there was a great article today in the Inquirer on Sir Anthony. And I mean, I gotta think we're gonna see him be the closer. In the article, Thompson doesn't commit per se. But he says there's no moment, there's no lineup that's too big for this guy. I got to think that's where they're headed.
Especially because it seems like anybody you were throwing out there in the ninth inning almost had an allergy to that to the ninth and just couldn't pitch and get outs without giving up a run or preserving the lead.
And obviously last night they didn't have that opportunity because there was no bottom of the ninth. But in this, and I think the hesitation was because people coming off the Tommy John surgery that he had, that had him miss nearly 2 years. Usually, this is what Thompson says in the thing, like they start out strong and then eventually they start to either get injured again or they like come back to earth and the numbers go up. That has not happened through 70, I think it said 73 games 37-35. So, and I think now that they're at this point and they see how good and how strong he is, that they might be willing to commit to giving him that closer role. He said he'll do anything. I loved listening to what he did during his rehab. He would put baseball games on three different elements, like his iPad, his TV, and his phone. And he would watch his own team and then pick two others. And he would be studying pitchers and the batters and taking notes of what works and what doesn't work and why. I mean, it's outstanding homework that this guy did. So he didn't waste the 2 years of rehabbing, even when he wasn't physically being able to do some of the stuff. Anyhow, I invite you to go read it. It was really cool.
And I love to hear him say that, because there a lot of the talk around him in spring training, to listen to some of the announcers and the reporters and all, just the makeup for him. They said the makeup and the look and how he presented himself on the mound, he looked like a completely different pitcher in a good way. And the results are there. There was skepticism for him coming into the season, and he's been anything but a question mark. I mean, he's been a resounding just blessing to have in the bullpen, because if not, where is that bullpen?
Jeez, and be in trouble, I think. Actually, Alvarado last night, he struck out the side in the eighth. He looks strong.
I think three appearances now since they brought him back up, and is it if he can find a stretch where he can just be consistent the way he has. That sinker last night and the other night, too, in Texas, even though the game wasn't close. But if he could throw like that 9, 10, 11 straight times out,
yeah,
you're never going to complain about the guy because he's untouchable.
Well, the last night he got ahead in the count, and then came the 101 mile. It actually was a strike. And they were like, it doesn't even matter if it's a strike at 101 miles an hour. Oh, man. Yeah. So anyhow, my point being, I find them entertaining to watch. I do. And it just seems so different since they made, you know, the change. I'm not saying there aren't, like, Castellanos is struggling mightily. You know, I'm not saying there aren't some things that you're still dealing with. But I think you find something that's positive most nights out.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it
feels different.
One thing that's kind of been overlooked, Tyler and I earlier didn't get a chance to talk about. I'm not sure if Hunter did this morning, but a feel-good story now, too, for the Phillies. The former number one pick in Mark Appel. You see that he got the call up, so he's joining the team.
I did.
Brogdon got put on the COVID IL last night after the game, so he's taking, Mark will be coming up to take his roster spot. But he put out a tweet earlier today saying, completely overwhelmed. I have so many thoughts I want to share, but can't find the words, so I'll just say this. I'm thankful. Today I get to play a ball game I love as a Major League Baseball player. All capital letters, let's go at Phillies.
Oh, cool. Will he make it to San Diego for tonight's game?
I think if he's not joining them today, he'll definitely be out there for tomorrow's game.
That's what I thought. All right, so we have the fightings to definitely talk about. Earlier this week, the NBA draft took place. The Sixers went into draft night with one pick, number 23 overall. They came out of the night with a player, D'Anthony Melton. How about in the same town we have a Sir Anthony and a D'Anthony? I love it. D'Anthony Melton, they got via trade with the Memphis Grizzlies. They gave up Danny Green, 37-year-old Danny Green, I might add, coming off a LCL injury that took place in May in that playoff game. Anyhow, they give that in the 23rd pick to get a 4-year player in D'Anthony Melton, who played his college ball at USC. And in a nutshell, they have a guy who's a wonderful defender. Now, he's only 6'3", but his wingspan is 6'9". And he gets after perimeter guys. He just does. And in addition to that, because if you say, well, it sounds like a smaller version of a Matisse Thybulle. No, this guy, he can shoot the three. And he has greatly improved his three-point shooting as his career has gone on. His first 2 years in the league, I think the first one he shot 29%. Actually, 29.4% on 235 attempts from three in his first two seasons. His last two seasons, it's 38.8 on 583 attempts from behind the arc. And I'll take it even a step further for you, and I will tell you that his month of February and March this year. I broke down. All right, let's see. February is he shot 44% from three. March, 47% from three. April, it was only five games. He was at 36%. But post All-Star game, the guy shot 43% from three. And over the last 2 years, that's 39. It's basically you are getting a guy who's going to be effective in your rotation. And I don't think you can say that about the number 23 pick in the draft. He's got 2 years left on his contract at a total of $16 million. It's reasonable, and he can help you. Danny Green wasn't going to be in your lineup this year because he probably won't play no matter whose team he's on because of his injury. He may even retire. And like I said, number 23 stepping in and being part of your rotation, it's not likely. And obviously, you always get a little nervous, but I say familiarity can also be really good. Daryl Morey drafted this kid in 2018 with the 46th pick in the NBA draft for the Houston Rockets. So he liked him coming out of college. And then has watched him, obviously, not in making the same kind of player. But I feel as good about them getting this guy as I did when he went and got Seth Curry a couple of years ago. Like, meaning, get a guy who can help. And I think this guy can be an effective rotational player. Now, will he be in your starting lineup? I'm not sure. You know, if you're replacing the Danny Green right now, Danny originally was coming off the bench, and Matisse had been that starter. I don't know what to expect from Matisse when he comes back in the fall. I mean, obviously, he was not nearly effective enough in the postseason. And from a mental standpoint, I think he took a major hit when he couldn't play because he wasn't vaccinated in the Toronto series. And he didn't seem to respond beyond that to help his team. So I'm just going to say D'Anthony Melton, 24 years old. I love the move because it can help your team now. And that's what this team needs. It needs a bench that is better than the one they had last year. And they need guys who can step in and be effective around Harden, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey. And this kid will be able to play with both of them, meaning Harden or Maxey. You might even, you know, there's a possibility.
Potentially both at the same time. I've all three.
The only thing is that's a little small for me. Meaning, that's why I'd have him come off the bench, to be honest.
Oh, no, absolutely. But, like, even when they're kind of, when you're mixing and matching a little bit, I think you could see a mixture of all three of Harden, Maxey, and Melton on the floor. So, not obviously starting, but at some point in the game, maybe, like, said late in the first half or even.
Maybe. I'm just telling you, it's too small for me. That's, I just said it. It's too, you know, that's a small lineup. In terms of when you look around and see what people have on the perimeter. There's a lot of length in this league.
Oh, yeah.
But let me see the kid play, you know, up close and personal. I can honestly tell you, until I went and looked at a couple of highlights, I wouldn't have been able to tell you who D'Anthony Melton is. I wouldn't. And then, of course, this week you have free agency opening up. I don't know what to expect. I mean, I know they're batting around, like, you know, where are they? What can they use? The non-taxpayer mid-level versus the taxpayer mid-level, those values are different. But it will definitely be interesting for sure. So we have that. And then, I don't know, did you see, I didn't see end-to-end, but game five of the Stanley Cup Finals. First of all, after Tampa Bay ends up winning the game, 3-2, I think it was. Yeah, 3-2. And I've become I love his name, the way it's spelled. It's Andre Palat, but it's so.
Got a J or Q, J
an O
right?
And a J at the, it begins with an O and ends in a J. It's so like sophisticated. This guy scored his 11th postseason goal. Seven of them have come in the third period.
Clutch genes.
And I love listening to Barry Melrose. He's like, I wish I had had a guy like this on my, when I coached.
Like, I think a lot of coaches.
Oh, my God. I mean, he's just money for them right now. And they won't go away. So, anyhow, at the beginning of the highlights that they showed, you see them wheeling in the Stanley Cup. And then all I could think of, they had to wheel that out and put that on the plane with somebody.
It's traveling three times.
Yeah.
Figure it traveled to wherever it came from to get to Colorado. And now it's got to travel to Tampa. And we'll see if it's got to
go back to Colorado.
Again.
Isn't that crazy, though?
That'd be pretty cool. And I think any sports fan, obviously, you hear the word, two words, game seven.
I wouldn't want to see it. I really want to see it.
Just the fact of it's not like, oh, okay, it's another game. The hockey has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think you do have the two best teams you could ask for in the Stanley Cup Finals with Colorado and Tampa. Just the speed of the game has just been incredible.
I mean, when you see the highlights of the goals that were scored and weren't.
No,
like,
easy ones.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyhow, I'm pulling for the game seven.
Absolutely.
That's, you know what? And, like, who thought Tampa Bay would go away easily? You know, they've won the last two.
They know how to do it. They've been there.
Yeah.
Not in this situation, per se.
And only
one team out of 36 times, I think it's happened, where they've fallen behind 3-1 in the finals.
They put the graphic up.
To win it, so...
I mean, it's so hard.
What a pass them to do it.
No, it's hard only because they've been there, right? So you can draw upon experience. You can draw upon no moment is going to be bigger than anything we've already done the last 2 years.
I said, and Colorado's still trying, this Colorado team anyways, trying to find their way over the hump. Like, they did it this year, per se, what the Sixers are trying to do. They finally broke that hump of getting past the second round into the conference finals. They're here ready to blow the doors off, and like, this is our time. But I think there's a little bit of self-doubt creeping into the minds, just a little bit, but they're poised and ready to win it, and maybe they will.
Yeah, well, we'll see. All right, listen, Rob's been patient, and Rob wants to talk about the Phillies. Rob, thank you for holding on there. How are you? Thanks for making the call.
Denise, I will always wait for you. Are you kidding me? For you, I mean, just keep going. Don't shortchange it. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I see you have a dancer in the family who definitely didn't get her moves from you.
Oh, are you kidding? Yeah, that's pretty much evidence that I had nothing to do with that child. Because that child can dance, and obviously I have two left feet. So,
what do you think of these?
I'm on my way back right now with more flowers for night two. So it's a big night.
Oh,
big,
cool.
Big Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, girl dad night part
nice.
Two. So I think tonight's a big night for the Phillies and Eflin, you know, because this is two straight starts where knee problems have crept up.
Yep.
This is all as a result of a phenomenal play that he made in Milwaukee on a ball that's hit, you know, between him and third base. And he just makes an outrageously athletic play, but has to stop, spin, and throw all in one motion off of a surgically repaired knee. And, you know, they're calling it bruising. You hope that it's just bruising.
Yeah.
But if it's a long-term, bigger issue, you have a real issue because, and I actually think they could survive it a little bit through the regular season to get to the postseason if they can get there. But, you know, long-term, he's certainly, in my opinion, when he's got it going, he's their best option as a number three in a short playoff series.
Sure.
And I just trust him more over Gibson. And honestly, as good as, you know, they've had to me, you could reshuffle the bullpen a little bit and, you know, be able to survive.
All right, let me ask you, I can't imagine they'd throw him out there if it was anything more than a bruised knee like they're saying. I just can't see them doing it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. It's funny, I did a story with him this spring training, because he told a story as soon as he came back to spring training about how unusual the situation was for his rehab due to lockout. So he was working diligently with Phillies trainers. Then the lockout hit, and he had to just kind of, like, the Phillies guided him toward a guy, but the guy was really diligent, and he was based out of Orlando. We went back. He showed us everything that Eflin had put himself through to get himself feeling better after this surgery. And, you know, he was really, really confident and felt like he had finally gotten over the hump of these knee issues.
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, it's back. So certainly I agree with you. You would think if it's anything more than a bruise, he wouldn't be on the mound. But they need him to be right if they're going to
run. After the last start, I think it was after the last start, where they said, you know, hey, he might have to miss his next start. I think they were saying that because of the knee. And then, lo and behold, here he is.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, so, but he had had a similar situation even last week, where he went out to a bullpen, he threw, he reported everything felt fine, so they said, okay, we're going to have you out there, we're going to keep you on a pitch count. And then, I mean, it was pretty clear it was bugging him, because he makes his living getting balls down, getting guys to hit the ball into the ground.
Yep.
And he was elevating everything because he just couldn't finish his pitches.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a real big concern if he's not able, if he can't figure this out and this turns into a bigger thing. Like, I'm definitely watching for that tonight.
Yeah.
No doubt.
All right, now I got to stay up. Oh, my God.
Yeah, now you're up.
But I did say, I don't know if you heard me, I do love that they, especially on these West Coasts, and it happened earlier in the year too, I love, I get up and the replay's on in the morning. It's perfect.
There you go. You're ready to go. It's
ready
perfect.
Ready to rock and roll.
There you go.
All right, Rob, enjoy the recital.
I will. Tell your girl Kim I said hi. She was great. Got a nice little story with her coming next week, so we're excited.
Oh, cool. All right, Rob, take care. Have a great rest of your Saturday. All right. Now we got to watch that one closely. I kind of let it go because I thought, they're not going to run him out there if he's not right.
Yeah, especially because
they wouldn't risk that.
The last start, they had him on that pitch count. I think they were hoping to maybe get him a three. I guess he went, was it the five innings his last start out?
No, I think
one before that was two against Washington. Oh, you know what it was? It was Sunday against Washington. He got the two innings. Yes. They had him on a pitch count, and he could only get through two.
Yeah. All right, so we'll be on the lookout for that. By the way, I write on my little notes, and we had talked about LIV Golf has been a big subject, and this week was even bigger because another big name and a four-time major winner in Brooks Koepka is jumping to LIV Golf. They signed him for $100 million. And, I mean, you're going to see him next week. It is the next tournament for them is in Portland, Oregon at Pumpkin Ridge. Love that place. But it's a big concern. And the PGA actually had some kind of response this week in increasing purse money, making some changes to the FedEx standings and who qualifies. And so there's an effort by the PGA Tour to try to keep what they have intact. But Monahan, who the director, I mean, he basically said, if this is just comes down to dollars, we can't do this. We can't compete if somebody's trying to buy the sport. And if the people who are part of it are going to allow the sport to be bought, you might have just, you're going to watch the PGA Tour disintegrate.
You're going to crush the PGA itself and just the quality of it. And you're going to strap the sponsors and everything else because they're probably trying to renegotiate some things. Hey, can you help us out a little bit? Because they got to find the money to come from somewhere. But I always thought the FedEx Cup and everything else, it was the way they did it, the layout of it and all, the season long, and then they had the cutoffs for every so many drop out.
It goes 70. Well, the new way, right now it was 125, 70, 30. The new way, it's going to be 70, 50, 30.
So keep more players in for a longer, a little bit, for an extra tournament or two.
No, well, actually it's less. Because it's going from 125 to 70.
Oh, so they're starting the first one. So,
first one is 70. Okay. But the top 125 in the standings get to keep their tour card. Okay. I think it's for 2 years. So, anyhow, as a person who loves golf and I love the majors, that's the thing. How is this going to impact that? We'll see. But, you know, you now have Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed. All have jumped ship. All have won majors. And they're now going to be playing this LIV Golf schedule.
I believe it's five of the top 30 golfers in the world have made the jump now.
Yeah. Now, in the same week, it was nice to see an article where the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, said, all the money in the world doesn't, I dreamt of being on this tour. I've made more money than I could imagined I'd ever would playing this sport. And it, like, there's a history to being part of the PGA Tour for him. And that won't change for him. Now, if the tour starts to dip in a major, major way, and it's not, doesn't have the prestige it did or does, I don't know what a Scheffler would do. The same Rory McIlroy. I mean, he's strong in saying he thinks this is wrong. I forget the phrase that Monahan used. It's an irrational threat to the PGA Tour. All right, we got to take a break. 610-632-0975. D-Line with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
D-Line on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to 97.5 The Fanatic. D-Line, I'm with you here this Saturday afternoon. And in that break, well, Mike, you said you found last year's Sixers roster for the NBA Summer League, which is going to start right around the corner, week from this Thursday.
Yes, July 7th.
Yep.
Yeah, I have the roster and games played if you want them.
From last year.
There's only five games.
Yeah.
The max, but yeah.
Max, he only played in two. I think he had a commitment with a camp that prevented him from playing in anything else.
He played in two. Paul Reed played in five. Isaiah Joe, four. Frank Mason played in three. Jaden Springer played in all five. You had Rajon Tucker played in four.
Oh, I liked him.
Aaron Henry played five. Charles Matthews played three.
How about my guy Bassie?
He's not actually on here. Braxton Key played five. Deshaun Nix played five. Philip Petrusev played four. Mitch Balick played four. Devontae Green, two. And Lamar Peters played in three.
So Bassie didn't play last year. Huh. Very interesting. I like Braxton Key. Braxton Key ended up with a contract at the end of this year with the Miami. Oh, no. Key with Detroit. Highsmith with Miami. If I want to see, in a heartbeat, they would have Braxton come back. Now, I don't know if Braxton is under contract. But that's a guy you got to be. You know, that's the one thing. If you can go find one of the G League guys that has developed over the, you know, last couple of years, and you think he could be a rotational guy. I mean, G League guys have, well, we saw it in the NBA playoffs. Jordan Poole for the Golden State. He was a G League guy the year before. Gabe Vincent for Miami, G League guy the year before.
Looks like Braxton Key is under contract with the Detroit Pistons for this upcoming season.
Yep. All right. So you lost out on that. Detroit, actually, they're trying to make something happen there. I love their pick in the draft. They ended up with Ivy with the fifth pick. A lot of people thought he might go fourth to the Kings. I didn't know the guy that the Kings ended up with.
On top of trading away Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
It played factored in because they got the 2025 first-round pick via Milwaukee from Portland, and then they dished that trade out to help bring in Jaden Ivey. So
yeah.
They really were wheeling and dealing. They kind of set themselves up.
So now they have Cade, who was the number one overall last year. They have Jaden, who's a fifth pick this year, but a lot of people were high on Jaden. Jeremy's gone. I felt like I saw something else they did. I saw where they were in the hunt for DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, I think with them moving Jeremy Grant, it gave them the financial flexibility
to be able to do that. But
we'll
then
see
I read something.
They're still interested in doing that now.
I feel like I saw something that's not in the works anymore. It's interesting. I think that this time leading up to free agency is like trying to guess what's going to happen. I don't know that this, like I just called up who are some of the big names in free agency coming up. But more important for the Sixers, who are the names of people that they can get? So, and I like how SpotTrack, which they break it down by 2022's free agent by positions. So I say to myself, well, what would the Sixers go after? I mean, since you just got Melton and he is flat out a shooting guard, that's what he is. Do you think that the next level guy, you know, next rotational guy you try to get would be more of a small forward? I'm thinking yes, because you have Tobias and George Niang as fours. And this is assuming they're out of the PJ Tucker sweeps, because I don't think that's going to happen. Because had you done that, you probably would have tried to start PJ and move Tobias to the three. But for our purposes, Tobias is your starting four. Niang is his backup. So to me, who at the small forward position? And then after they do it by position, they have all-star. They make it tiers. So all-star doesn't necessarily mean they are all-stars, but they have the ability to be an all-star. I would put, like, if Tobias had been a free agent, that's what I call Tobias that. He has the possibility of being an all-star. Starters, so the guys are either starters or they produce numbers of starter level. They have an impact of starter level. Then you have rotational guys. These are solid players that should be in a team's regular season rotation. And then fringe guys like two-way or, you know, at the end of your bench. So to me, you're not getting an all-star level guy. I don't think you're getting a starter level guy. So I go down to the rotation tier and you have Martin. He's restricted. Miami Heat's he's restricted. So you had Cody Martin, who's Charlotte Hornets again. He's restricted. I need unrestricted.
I have a list here of some of the unrestricted.
Unrestricted from the Jazz, Daniel House Jr. Derek Jones Jr. of the Chicago Bulls. Iguodala.
I think he's retired. He can go sit on the bench and coach with them. But speaking of the Golden State Warriors, you know who else is on that list?
Who? Oh, yeah.
Porter Jr. Is there any way Golden State lets him walk?
No.
Even though he's an unrestricted free agent?
Is he on that list?
He's on here. He made $2.3 million last year.
Yeah.
29 years old.
I mean, in a heartbeat, I'd take a look. He must be listed as a power forward. Does that sound right?
I'm seeing him here under small forward on the list I have.
Huh. Interesting. I can't imagine they'd let him walk. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't think so either.
And I got to think he would want to be back there. Was he on how did they get him? I thought they got him in a trade. He must have only had the 1 year left on his deal. Let's see. He played. I remember when he was with. All right. On August 6th of last summer, he signed with the Warriors. Wow. Veteran minimum. Porter won the NBA championship. He would play a sizable role in the finals. Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, he played for the veteran minimum last year. Who wouldn't want to stay? I mean, basically, the only guy that didn't want to stay with the Warriors was Kevin Durant at one point. Everybody else seems like they want to stay.
Think he's regretting that decision at this point?
He'll never admit it.
Not out loud.
No. He was on a podcast the other day, because a lot of people think that he's, you know, tight with Kyrie because they decided to do this Brooklyn thing together. And he kind of like put a little bit of saying, you know, I have nothing to do with his negotiations. You know, being a free agent is a really important time in any player's life. And he needs to do what he thinks is right for him. And I mean, I'm sure behind the scenes, he wants Kyrie back. I got to think. But I mean, if I'm the Nets, I'm not getting, you know, put in a corner with this negotiation, despite the player that he is, given the lack of availability. And if he decides to opt out, which I can't imagine he'll do, because at that point, if you don't get the sign and trade and you opt out, you're going to the team that has the money to sign, and usually those are bad teams. He doesn't want to do that. I mean, I guess at that point, if you think you can't get the deal you want done, then you are trying to work the sign and trade with one of the six teams that he gave you. Clippers were on that. Milwaukee was on there.
Lakers
were on there.
Somehow we were on there.
Dallas, us. I'm missing one.
There was Knicks.
Oh, my God, the Knicks. Knicks would do it in a heartbeat. I don't know if they have anything that could get that done. Well, they do.
They have a lot of picks. So with the madness, I guess, and the frustration that fans were showing for the Knicks, they put the GM or the president put out a statement. They have acquired now for the next seven drafts, they have 22 total picks, 11 in the first and 11 in the second over the next seven drafts. So they have the capital to do it.
That's very Sam Hinkie-ish, putting assets on top of assets. And wasn't it last year that R.J. Barrett had kind of a little bit of a falling out? And he's a good player. Yeah, they have things you could do. I mean, if you're Kyrie, does it? I mean, that team's not going anywhere quickly, are they? I don't think. All right, well, anyhow, this free agency starts June 30th. I believe it's June 30th. And the opting in has to take place the night before that. So to me, Wednesday and Thursday, not so much for the Sixers with big names, but that's where you'll start. Well, first of all, you'll see who opts in on their player options and actually on team options, too. You know, I think it's a foregone conclusion that James Harden is opting in. You know, not that you expect somebody to do this, but if he had opted out, he could then have negotiated a lower price for his salary for next year, and you could work that in to, like, your new deal. That's like doing a favor for your team who's in a pretty big, bad cap situation. But $47 million is a lot of money, and I think the negotiating part of that, he opts in and he knows that they're not going to give him years. They're not interested in 4-year extension. And so 3 years. But is it 3 years after this, which is, I mean, I get it. The four would be five, which is too many. Three more years? I'd like to see the number before I sign the dotted line. I'm not giving them 3-year max money. And it's the same with that's why the Nets are in their situation. They're, you know, they're saying, why am I giving away the super max to a guy that I can't count on? And in Harden's case, it's not so much you can't count on him, but he's not the player that you once saw playing in Houston and, you know, being MVP caliber. And at this point in Joel Embiid's career, he needs somebody like that as his running mate. Look around. That's what happens. 610-632-0975. All right, last night in the Phillies game, the one run that was scored by the Padres was Austin Nola's RBI single in the sixth of his younger brother, Aaron Nola. Aaron's 29. Austin is 32. He is the Padres' catcher. Do you, like, immediately when they started talking about the brother, the whole, you know, going head-to-head against your brother, I was like, oh, in Major League Baseball history, a game-winning RBI off of a brother had never happened before. I'm thinking to myself, well, yeah, you're putting in a lot of factors here. And how often does a brother face a brother? And then I thought to myself, well, in basketball, it'll be a little easier. But even like Seth versus Steph, do they guard each other? Right? I mean, you're playing against each other, but do they guard each other? And then I thought about the Morris brothers, Marcus and Markeith, definitely have gone head to head. They've also played together on many levels, all levels. Even in the NBA, they played together. But I said to myself, I don't think of a lot of them, probably in football. And that's because there's, you know, 53-man rosters. So there's more jobs to be had at the highest level. Because I'm talking about in the pros. Got any family ones? I have an easier time of thinking, like, not playing against each other, but thinking about the next generation. Like, so the dad played and was really, really good. And then the son comes along and he's pretty darn good as well.
I'll give you one in the NHL. He's got two kids playing now. Keith Tkachuk back in the day for the Blues. He's got Matthew and Brady Tkachuk in the NHL now.
Oh, there you go.
There were two of them. So pretty.
Yeah. I want to say, it was one of the Warriors that they had a picture. It might have been Jordan Poole. I'll have to look. They had a picture of him as a kid, and his mom played in the WNBA. And I'll look it up. Whoever it was sitting on her lap, like at the, and she was in her WNBA uniform. And then here is, you know, the guy playing in the NBA. But I say to myself, the WNBA has been around 20 plus years now. You would have some of these stories. And I was watching a highlight of the Liberty and the Atlanta Dream last night. And there is a girl who plays, a woman who plays for Atlanta, whose name is Ryan Howard.
Wow, no way. That's
she
pretty cool.
She spells Ryan differently. Because a lot of, I mean, don't have to spell it differently as the female name. But I haven't looked it up yet. I got to guarantee there is some connection to Ryan Howard and being, you know, somebody was a fan, don't you think?
Probably the timing, depending on how old she was and then when she was born.
Yeah,
and into that.
I'm going to investigate that. But as soon as I heard the highlight, I'm like, Ryan Howard. I said, well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so, and then I have this discussion with my dad. Like, is it genes or environment that a lot of successful pro athletes then have their children go on and be, you know, can achieve in the same way, some not quite as good and some better. You know, the Rick Brunson, Jalen Brunson was our most recent discussion. And, you know, Jalen even was on a podcast I hear. He's like, you know, I am so much better a shooter than my dad ever was. I can imagine the driveway rivalries that take place. The Currys, same thing.
Heck, you got a couple of good ones in baseball right now. I can give you three. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., mm-hmm. Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
And you even got Kevin Biggio, which was Craig Biggio's son.
Yeah. I remember I used to, Craig Biggio, I must have been a weekend anchor at that time because I remember cutting his highlights over and over and over again. Yeah, the next generation is way cool. And then you know, and I think it is both. I think it is genes, and I think it is also environment, because I think of how many kids, like Andre Iguodala would bring his son, you know, to practices. I remember Andre Miller, his son, and they would call, he was like 8 when he was here, when Andre was a player here, and they all called the Sun Miller Light. Such a great name. You know, but they become gym rats because they go to work with their fathers, you know. And then additionally, so they're exposed to how people are playing. They're playing all the time. They're exposed to the way people practice, drills that they practice. You know, it's just you're given something that is a behind the scenes that a lot of people don't have access to. And it's really beneficial. I mean, even I can go back to Brett Brown and his son, Sam. I mean, they used to play horse after practice and be like, and that kid, now he's a high school kid, but at that time he's a grade schooler. And, you know, he could compete, if not win, so long as it was jump shots. Now, if you're going to go dunk, the kid couldn't do that. But if it was a game of, you know, where you're just shooting shots, he could compete. Even back in the day, I remember Kobe Bryant was a high school guy, and he was in the St. Joe's gym playing against, that was when the Sixers still practiced there. I remember he played against Jerry Stackhouse, and he took it to him. Oh, it's fun to remember back in the day. But when I was seeing the Aaron and the Austin, and that's another thing I was going to look up. I don't know if they have other siblings, but it would appear that they liked names that began with A. Some people do that. I remember in Kyle Korver's family, everybody had a K.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when you kind of keep it, I don't want to say symmetrical, but like just that theme going with all, like in all C's, or like, yeah, Aaron and Austin and all. And you know, a caller just called in. He couldn't jump on, but he wanted to say Travis and Jason Kelce.
Ah, perfect.
Right here in Philly.
Yeah. And two totally different kinds of players.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy, too? And but I said in football, that's more likely. Again, 53-man rosters, but your skill set can be different. You know what I mean?
And again, different sides of the ball. You got the Diggs brothers.
Yeah.
Trayvon and Stephon Diggs.
Good one. I'm sure if we did the whole football one, we'd come up with a long list. Yeah. And then, as I told you, they showed the parents of the Nolas were in the stands. And then the cutaway of Austin after he's standing on first. He was trying to, like, not smile, but he's kind of smiling. But he's looking right at his brother. Aaron didn't look at him. And in his interview afterwards, he was like, you know, it's tough because you want to win. And then you realize I win and he gets the loss when he had pitched such an amazing day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like,
if I recall right, when the Padres were here earlier in the season, their parents were both here, and their father was wearing both of their jerseys, I believe.
How do you wear them both?
He had one over top of the other, but he was rocking both because, again, Aaron was pitching and Austin was playing against him. So he goes, I got to represent both of them. I can't do one over the other.
Oh, wow.
And speaking of baseball, we have a little bit of history that just happened. The Houston Astros not only shut out the New York Yankees today, but they went for a combined no-hitter against the Yankees.
Ah.
Christian Javier had 7 innings, 13 strikeouts. How about this name? Hector Neris threw an inning in there, and then Ryan Pressly closed it out in the 9th with 2 strikeouts himself. So they had 15 strikeouts against the Yankees today. Think about that lineup.
Wow. How about Aaron Judge got his payday? He was he was very nonchalant in talking about getting that deal done. Maybe that's his personality. But yeah, he was glad it didn't have to. He said, I'm glad it didn't have to go to a courtroom. I'm like, I think they call that arbitration, don't they?
Yeah, I believe they did actually they got the deal done. I think it was $19 million plus incentives to avoid arbitration.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought it was funny he called it a courtroom, which I guess technically, but it sounds so harsh. Wow. I got to look at that. 15 strikeouts against the Yankees. Pretty impressive. 610-632-0975. How you feeling about your Phillies, who tonight have Zach Eflin on the hill, coming off the 1-0 loss to the Padres last night? Aaron Nola pitched a heck of a game, and they just couldn't give him any run support. No new news there. So what is the performance they come out with tonight? And also, if you want to weigh in on any of the NBA, not just the Sixers, but what you thought of Daryl Morey's move to get D'Anthony Melton, who is 24 years old, at the price of Danny Green and the 23rd overall pick from this year. 610-632-0975. D-lining with you here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.